as your servant. Lord God, and I want to take this moment to lift up prayers, Lord God, prayers for our nation. Before I bring your word, Lord God, I pray for the peace of this nation. Lord God, I want to pray for today the family of George Floyd as they grieve the loss of their son. God, I pray that you will give them that peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray, God, for the state of Minnesota, Lord God, for the city. I pray, God, for the officers, God, officers, police officers that do good. I pray, Lord God, for their protection. I pray for the protection of the city. I pray for the protection of those who are protesting. I pray, God, for our nation. Lord God, have mercy. On this day of Pentecost, I'm asking you, God, by your great mercy and because of your great love for us, that you will send your spirit among humanity. We who are called Americans. Lord God, that you will touch the hearts, each and every heart. Transform us, change us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, we are fighting the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic. God, and now we are fighting the virus of racism. God, I pray, God, that you will change the heart of humanity. Let us realize that we're all one in Christ. That we all, when one hurt, we should all hurt. And when one is joyful, then we are all joyful. Lord God, let us realize that Jesus Christ died for everyone. So have mercy upon our nation. I pray for the leadership of this nation, Lord God. I pray this morning, God, in the name of Jesus, that beyond the hate, out of this time will come love. Out of this time will come unity, Lord God. Out of this time will come peace, Lord God. God, let it not be in vain. And so, God, we surrender now before you, God, and I ask you for a word of hope, a word of peace, and a word of love for each and every one of us here. Those who are listening, God Almighty, have mercy. Hear from heaven, Lord God. Hear from your holy place. And take hold of me, the preacher, Lord God, and put me under submission to your holy will. God Almighty, there's a saying that says the good suffer with the bad. God, have mercy upon our cities. Have mercy upon our cities, Lord God, and those who are innocent citizens who are caught in the melee. Oh God, have mercy. And holy God, do not abandon us, I beseech you, but hear from your holy place. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And I know today we are, many of us, good people, our hearts are full. Some of us have cried and cried, but we are trusting in the Lord that God will bring us through. My sermon today is the Holy Spirit for everyone. The Holy Spirit for everyone. Pentecost. The risen Jesus has already prepared the disciples for this moment. Having appeared to them after his resurrection, Jesus promises to deliver what his Father has promised to him: power from on high. Acts open by returning both to the promise and to the words of John the Baptist. The disciples are to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Indeed, just as Jesus' career commences with the Holy Spirit descending upon him, we see that in Luke So does Pentecost ignite the careers of his disciples. Without the Holy Spirit, the disciples would not have had the power to start the early church. Finally, before Jesus ascends into the sky, he repeats the promise. The disciples will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. He repeats it as he is ascending. If the language of the Spirit coming upon the disciples seem a bit wild, or Luke and Acts have at least prepared us for the event, the Spirit coming upon them, the Pentecost crowd's initial response to the Spirit's outpouring includes the concern that things have gotten a little too wild. There were folks there who thought it was getting a little too wild. Sometimes folks may think I'm getting a little bit too wild, but I've got the Holy Spirit in me, and they've got the Holy Spirit in them, and we are all what? Living under the Holy Spirit, and it works in each and every one of us differently, doesn't it? Praise God. We're not little cookie cutters. We're individuals. And so those in the crowd, there were some in the crowd who thought they're getting a little bit too wild. What is going on? Amazement and confusion, one would say, spreads throughout the crowd. But some make fun of the event. Surely these disciples are drunk. Right? Remember, these folks are from everywhere. And as the Spirit came upon them, some probably were saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." Some were crying, some were weeping, some were scared, some were worried, some were staggering, because you know you could stagger under the power of the Holy Spirit. I know you might not have seen it in this church, but I've seen people pray and cry out so God that they fall out under the power of the Holy Spirit. Their very legs cannot hold them up. I've seen folks who have been sitting quietly and the service gets so high and the Spirit of God came upon them, they fall out. There's a power with the Spirit. So there was amazement and confusion, and they thought they were drunk. And as was read in the scripture, Peter begins by answering that complaint. And he does so by explaining the event as a fulfillment of Joel. He does so by explaining that this is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. And why is he doing it? Because you're Jews there also. And he wants to say, this is not madness, we're not drunk. But it was said in the scriptures, the prophet said it, that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon women and men and children and boys and old men and young men and old women. The Spirit of God will fill them. Joel had said, right, in those days. So he was telling them it is a fulfillment of the scripture. And at the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus ties the Spirit's arrival to his confounding saying that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the psalm must be fulfilled. And so it had to be fulfilled. And the phrase, what my Father promised, suggests further fulfillment of the scriptures. He repeats this language in Acts. Now, friends, the miracle resides in that everyone hear the gospel in their own language. That is the miracle of Pentecost. Not that the disciples hear it, because they were going to hear it. They were following Jesus. But that everyone there would hear it in his or her own language. That's the miracle of Pentecost. This is what we all want. Through the work of the Spirit, to communicate with each person in a language particular to that individual. We all want the Holy Spirit to work in us. If you're a true believing follower of Jesus Christ, you should want the Holy Spirit to work in you, and to work in you with a kind of way that you would understand. Because the way the Holy Spirit will work in me may not be the same way it works in Joan or in Zamzam or in Nancy, but we all want it to work in us in a way that we will understand. So that's the miracle of Pentecost. And there it says again in Joel, God pours out the Spirit upon all flesh. It had been prophesied, making no distinctions according to rank, authority or position, children, male and female, speak the word. Women and men alike receive the gift. The Holy Spirit came up on everyone. That means there's hope for us. If you think you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's up to you. Just ask God. It's here. Holy Spirit is here. Right? You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And your manifestation of the Holy Spirit may be a little bit different from mine, but that's okay. I read this on this reflection, and it's called Ordinary Volunteer Finds Her Leadership Gift. The Spirit works in us and empowers us to be what God wants us to be. And so the writer, who is a leadership coach, Karen Miller, writes, one Sunday morning, Irene, a church plant leader in her 70s, set up the communion table. I noticed, says the writer, that she went around to make sure everything was in order and people did whatever she asked them to do. Afterward, I asked her, Irene, have you ever considered that you have leadership gifts? Absolutely not, she said. I am just an ordinary woman, housewife and mother. I am not leading. I am just serving. Some months later, our young church received a visit from a Rwandan church leader. He told the church how he dreamed of starting an orphanage and school for children whose parents had been slaughtered in the genocide. We decided we had to help. Could we hold a banquet to raise funds? Irene agreed to help out on the banquet. When she visited a possible caterer, she somehow convinced the caterer to donate most of the food. Irene talked with a banquet hall, and they gave her a deep discount. So did the tech people. No one could tell Irene no. On the banquet night, over 200 people came, and enough money was raised to build the school and its dormitory. I teased her, the writer said afterwards. Irene, that was amazing. Maybe you are a leader. She laughed, for she finally had to acknowledge the truth. Each May, Irene led the banquet again. The Spirit of God was in Irene and gifted her to what? To lead when it was needed. And the writer says, now we could see photos of the kids who had lived on the streets and never brushed their teeth, flashing broad white smiles. Boys who had been malnourished, their arms and legs painfully thin, now ran and jumped across the courtyard on strong legs. Girls who had come dressed in rags showed off their neat school uniforms and berets. After Irene went to be with the Lord, Sunrise Orphanage named the dorm after they found out about the banquet she had led single-handedly, had covered over a third of the school operating cost. The Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of God had filled Irene. See, sometimes we think the Holy Spirit of God, when it fills us, fire is going to come to our ears. Or we're going to be breathing fire through our nose, right? Or we're going to look different and people are going to run away from us. Well, some of us may look a little different. People started speaking in tongues, right? They said they were speaking in tongues. They were just speaking in their own languages, right? As the Spirit came up on them. Some of us feel like we can't do it. It doesn't take all of that, right? I may dance and and sing when the Spirit comes upon me. I used to teach my little confirmation class a little song, all the children, and it used to say, fire, 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 fall on me. Fire, 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 fall on me. On the day of Pentecost, the fire fall on me. It's a little song they used to sing in Jamaica on Pentecost. Fire, 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 fall on me. Fire, 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 fall on me. On the day of Pentecost, the fire fall on me. They would sing it in church. Just asking the fire of God. Now somebody passing by may think, my Lord, they've lost their mind. They're asking the fire to fall on them. Right? But it's a fire of Pentecost. And it comes differently for everyone. And so Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. Because sometimes we leave it there at Pentecost. We get excited at Pentecost. We remember Pentecost, which was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then we stop. We forget that in the rest of Acts, Acts of the Apostle, the early church was started. They were empowered to go forth and do. They were empowered by the Spirit of God to go forth and do what God had called them to do. So Paul reminds the church at Corinth, right? The church, all of those is all in Acts of the Apostle. The church at Corinth had people there. Folks were not operating the way they should. Folks were not doing what they ought to do, and they were fussing, and some were doing nothing. And Paul wanted to remind them. And so Paul says, now there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are variety of services, but the same Lord. Amen? That we are gifted. That Nancy has a gift to play the piano. Right? There is something about getting taught. We know that. We have to get taught to kind of help the gift. Right? We understand that. But you have the gift. It's in you. You'll see a little child, a small child, who would say, oh, I wanted to be a singer when from I was three. And they open up their mouth and they start to sing and you can't believe it. He says, my God, how could they sing so? Spirit of the Lord. Right? So it's one Lord, but a variety of gifts. One Lord, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. So the person who has a gift of hospitality. There are people in churches who have the gift of hospitality. They want to prepare the coffee hour. They want to prepare the meals. They want to serve the people. It is the gift of God, the Spirit of God in them that has gifted them to desire to do so. That's the Holy Spirit. It's not hocus pocus. There are people who are ushers. They are ushers. They so you could see when an usher is just asked to usher and when an usher is gifted to be an usher. When you see an usher who's gifted to be an usher, when the doors of the church are open, they are like dancing. They are so ready to just do, and they welcome the people in with such joy. I've gone to church. When the usher welcomes you, you just want to come to that church just to hear the usher speak. The usher stands at the door and the usher says, welcome to the house of the Lord. We're glad that you're here. They're not just doing it because they're asked and we have to fill a slot. They're doing it because the Spirit of God has gifted them to do it. Come on, church. That's what you see the difference of doing and being gifted. He says, to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom and to another the utterance of knowledge. So some people have can teach. Some people are good Bible teachers. Some people are not, but they're good learners, right? Some people are great Sunday school teachers, fantastic. Other people says, no, I cannot teach Sunday school. It is not my gift. The worst thing it is to give people, ask people to do things when they say no to you. I know sometimes in our churches, we do that because we do not have enough people. And sometimes people will say yes to fill in, and they really don't want to do it, and you don't see the manifestation of their true gifts. But it's the same God who gives us the Spirit, who gives us those spiritual gifts. He says to another, he has given faith and spirit. So Paul wants to know them. And then Paul wants us to know that. Paul wants us to know that we all have this gift, Spirit of God in us, who has gifted us. And what we are supposed to be doing is to ask God, what is my gift? Holy Spirit, reveal in me, what is my gift? And we are never too old to ask God that question. Never too old to say, Lord, I want to do something in the church. What is my gift? Apostle Paul will remind them. He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Right? There are many members, but we are one body. Right? So somebody could be the hand, he says in another scripture, right? Somebody could be the eye. Somebody could be the leg. Because he says the hand can't be the eye. You know, he says that in another scripture, right? And the knee cannot be the ankle. But we all have something to do to contribute to the building up of God's kingdom. That is what Pentecost reminds us, that everyone received the Holy Spirit. And everyone can do and can and have something to give for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. Amen? Amen. Who would have thought that Angel has a gift of the to run my little video? Maybe that I did force him into it, but guess what? The Holy Spirit then revealed it in him. Hallelujah. Praise God, right? Because we're one. For in the one Spirit we are baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of the one Spirit, black or white, rich or poor, male or female. My God in heaven, Christian believers, church, rise up and speak. Speak peace to what's going on. Speak peace, church. Speak peace. Speak love. No one is better than the other in the eyes of God. No one. Speak peace and justice. Speak love. This is a time where a nation needs the church to rise up and speak. Speak love and peace and justice. Because there's a song that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. Where there is comfort in life's darkest hour, there is light and fire. There is help and power in the Spirit of the Lord. So on this day of Pentecost, we have to ask God to send His Spirit again. Because our community and our nation, our communities and are absent of love. We need to ask the Spirit of God to fall afresh on us, because where the Spirit of God is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of God is, there is love. There is comfort in life's darkest hour. Lord God, we need comfort in this dark hour in our nation. And God will hear. On this day of Pentecost, we should all be crying out to God. Crying out to God to intervene in the lives of every person. Not the person we like and the person we don't like. God has no room for that. But in the life of every single person, that the Spirit of God will take hold of our nation, take hold of each and every one of us, and compel us to love one another. Compel us to love one another. Friends, this is the Pentecost story. Yes, that the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. And it came for work. And do not let us be confused that when the Holy Spirit came upon everyone, that was not the message. The message was to us that God is not particular. When God sent the Holy Spirit upon everyone, He was not being particular. He was sending it upon every person who was there. That means we are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus, each and every one of us. So church, on this Pentecost Sunday, I am asking you, those who are watching online, I am beseeching you. Forget political affiliations. Forget it. When we get sick and die, it doesn't matter, does it? What does it matter? Independents die and Democrats die and Republicans die. When the coronavirus came, we all die. We're human beings first. I didn't think when I came out of the womb, they says, oh, well, here's a baby, she's a Democrat. Or here's a baby, he's a Republican. We're human beings. And let us start treating each other well. I hope somebody's listening to me, some young person there, some of them who are rioting and going on. Yes, you have a right for protest. Yes, this country was built on protest. Remember Vietnam and all of that? This is not new. But you could protest in a way that is peaceful, that you do not disturb or destroy your own communities. This is not what the Spirit of God would want you to do. Right? And yes, we want justice. We want justice because God, we want justice to rain down from heaven, as the prophet says. But yes, we must wait on the law. And we must demand it. But we've got to treat each other better in this country. And until we start to align ourselves with love, when we start to align each other in unity through love, we will continue to be divided. So on this day of Pentecost, I'm praying that we will ask God in heaven, please, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, and use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Amen.